recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
And Hollywood Hulk Hogan. He was also here to chit-chat, if you will, a little banter with Eric Bischoff from the NWO. But, J.J., there have been so many rumors running rampant throughout the wrestling world. You hear about it back in the locker room. You hear about it in hotels, in airports, wherever I go. The subject of Sting, Sting, Sting. And where this man fits into what's going on in professional wrestling today, I certainly hope you, my friend, can shed some light on it.
Well, Gene, as I mentioned last week to the announcers on the phone, it's been about a year since anybody at WCW has talked to Sting. And this whole situation with the NWO, I mean, it was a real mess because there were a lot of people in WCW management that questioned Sting's loyalties. They thought that maybe he had defected at some point to the NWO. There was a tremendous amount of distrust. And Gene, you and I both know that trust is a strong, powerful commodity. So I can understand better than anybody how Sting had to feel. I can really sympathize with the man. And maybe he dealt with this whole situation, Gene, a lot better than management at WCW, because as we've seen in recent months, by Sting's actions, he is solidly behind WCW. I mean, he's been there to support his friends, his peers in WCW, and I'm talking about Lex Luger, I'm talking about the Giant, and I'm talking about Diamond Dallas Page. But the problem is still there, Gene. It's been a year, and we haven't been able to talk to him.
Not a word.
No, and so it's difficult to figure out just what he wants. But I know one thing for sure, WCW desperately needs Sting. We need Sting in the ring.
Amen.
If we're going to deal with this juggernaut, this NWO situation. And I've tried every means possible to try and communicate with him. Nothing has worked. I was here when they unlocked the doors in the building today. I have not seen Sting. I've not talked to anybody else that's seen him.
I don't think he's here.
Well, Gene, I don't know. I heard from reliable sources that he would be here tonight. I just wish that he would come forward. I just wish that he would look at me man to man, face to face, eye to eye, and give me an opportunity, because Sting, I have an opponent for you.
Oh.
I have a valid contract signed by a free agent. It's a binding contract, and all it needs is your signature and a time and a place to make it happen. I just hope this is what you want.
Well,
oh,
Sting, no more.
Oh, no.
You, I think, are going to get your wish, J.J. Dillon. Guys, no sooner said than done. Here comes the man. Obviously, he heard what you had to say. You've got that big grin on your face. James J. Dillon, I congratulate you. Finally, we are going to get someplace with the likes of Sting. Sting, if I could have your undivided attention, Mr. Dillon, I think, has a proposition you may be very interested in.
I think we're past the point of apologies. I wasn't here for a lot of what took place, and you know that I can't undo a lot of what's already happened and what's already done. But what I can do is pledge to you that I will do everything in my power from this point forward to try and reestablish, kind of rebuild that trust that once existed between you and WCW. I have a contract. It's signed, it's valid, and I have an opponent for you. We need you back in the ring, and this could be the beginning for you to face your opponent, Curt Hennig.
How about that?
Yeah.
Gentlemen back there in the broadcast booth, I don't know if you just said, J.J. Dillon has just offered Sting an opportunity to meet Curt Hennig. He has a signed contract.
Oh. No good.
Wait a minute. I can't believe that. You just opened the door for him. And he ripped up the contract. Sting, please rethink this offer. World Championship Wrestling needs you, Sting. These fans need you.
I'm disgusted.
JJ, you got his eye. You got his ear.
Didn't get his signature.
I'm not about to give up with this. We need Sting, and I'm going to figure out what it is he wants, and I'm going to make every attempt I can to deliver.
But apparently, Sting is just going to walk out of the building. I think you got your answer as far as any future date with Kurt Hennig. And guys back there, I'm very curious, Tony, what you and Bobby and Mike today might have to say on the reception that JJ received here tonight.
Well, the fact was, Gene, he never even read the contract. He just took it and ripped it right down the middle.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Yo, what's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Ooh, yeah!
And a very, very happy salutations to all my peoples out there. Welcome to a very special episode of Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea. And I'm riding solo this week, that's right. So you get a kind of a philatorial slash, I don't know, throwback. I'm recording this from a remote location that's not my equipment. So if the audio's a little, you know, different, then I apologize. I will try to spruce it up as much as I possibly could. But I'm chilling on my staycation. I'm actually on location of my new place while my floors are getting done. Yeah, I sound really domesticated. So the other half decided that she had found wooden floors under the carpets that we pulled up in the new place and wanted them refinished. So now the entire house smells like fucking varnish and Central America. So, you know, either way, it's It'll get done soon, and the moving process will start, which really sucks because we have to downsize. And I'm not really giving up a whole hell of a lot, but we have a lot of shit. So, you know, once it's over, it'll be fine. But for now, I'm going to have to fucking buckle down and knock that out. But I do have a new location for the show. It's a really cool room. It won't be, you know, won't have the echo that the last couple of episodes had. I'm going to actually work on soundproofing some of it just so I can avoid anything that remotely sounds like an echo. But regardless, it should be a good time. We won't miss a whole ton of time. I was going to take this week off, but because Choppy wasn't going to be around. He's working, and he's got some issues of his own. So I figured, you know what? I'm not doing anything. I'm on staycation. Might as well knock one out. Well, I have some of my equipment here. I have my laptop. I have some other things going on here. But yeah, it should be a good time. We'll talk some stuff. Like I said, I've been on a staycation. It didn't start very well. Saturday, I was moving some furniture. That wasn't even mine, which pisses me off even more. And this thing is like fucking 40 years old. It's a huge dresser, armoire type gimmick. And I'm going down the stairs with my buddy, and we get down to the stairs, and we go to lay it down, and we didn't tie the doors up properly, and the door swung open and caught my finger and cracked my fucking nail on my middle finger of my left hand, and cracked it basically almost in half, and I bled like a stout pig. I'm still bleeding, actually. Saturday. Like 4 days later, I'm still fucking bleeding. But I went to urgent care that day. I never really was a patient in urgent care. These little urgent care clinics we have here in New York. Within 25 minutes, I was examined, x-rayed, and bandaged up. 25 minutes. Now I know why people don't want to go to the emergency room anymore. Like I said, I was looked at, x-rayed, and bandaged in 25 minutes. And it cost me the cost of a copay for my insurance, which is brilliant. So, I mean, it was a win-win. And it was pretty cool that they fixed me up real quick. But now I have to live with this bandage on my finger for next week or two. Because, like I said, I have no nail there. It's like a piece. I have a piece left. They didn't give me any kind of, like, numbing thing. She had to cut it. The rest of it off. It's like, all right, I'm gonna have to cut this. I'm like, all right, well, and I thought she'd give me something for the pain. So not only did she not give me anything for the pain, but she shot a bunch of several syringes of iodine on it. And if you've ever had iodine on an open wound, oof. I mean, it'll sanitize it, but it stings like a mofo. You know. So that was fun. You know, I'm just hanging out, man. Just relaxing. I'm watching some wrestling. We'll talk about some wrestling tonight. By the time you get this, it'll be my 43rd birthday. I don't know how many more of these I'm going to be doing, man. I don't know. I'm not going to kill the podcast right away, but I'm getting old, and I have other interests, you know? So I'm going to try to do this and other things because I still have a fan base. You guys still like the show. So as long as you guys still listen, I'll probably do the show. If not, I'm probably going to, you know, eventually end it. I don't know. It's been 5 years, and so far, so good, you know. But, yeah, 43 years young, man. I didn't think I'd make it this long. And I'll tell you why. You know, and you guys all heard my philatorials about me growing up in the hood and, you know, doing some crazy shit and being involved with some really shady people and living on the edge and basically, you know, testing the patience of everybody who cared about me. I wasn't a terrible person, nor was I a criminal, close to it, though. Because I hung out with some really shady people, and then they had a huge influence on me. Even as an adult, some of them are still around, and most of them are dead or in jail, but some of them are still around, and I kind of steered away from that right around the end of high school. I started getting other interests, you know. I still loved wrestling. I always loved wrestling, you know, even when I was doing bad shit. But I got into music and girls and like geeky shit like Dungeons and Dragons and DC Heroes and stuff like that. So, started playing, I kept on playing sports as an outlet too. So I kind of steered away from all the bullshit. I kind of motivated myself to get away from all the stuff because I saw what was going on. A lot of my friends were kids, having kids, or going to jail and dying all three, which is really tragic, and I didn't want to go out like that. So, you know, I kind of stuck to a plan, and it's got me by, man. It's got me by. And, you know, being this old, approaching middle age, you start thinking about a lot of things, like, you know, did I make the right career choice? You know, did I make good choices with my life, partner, you know, with my family? You know, you start questioning your mortality. Like, you start questioning every single thing that you didn't even think of 20, 25 years ago. And I guess that's part of the progression of life, and it's cool. But you really get a sense of awareness, and you really get a sense of, you know, where you stand as a person. And sometimes things come into perspective, and sometimes they don't come right away. You just have to, you know, make sure that you're good enough and well enough in the head to know what you want in life, and you want to know where you're going to get it and how you're going to get it. Not everything is a plan. I'm a planner, but you can't plan shit like that. It has to come to you. You have to be inspired by something. Opportunities have to come, and you really have to be on point when that stuff happens. When opportunity knocks, you take it. And if there's any advice I can give anybody, if you love something so much, just stick with it. It may not be the best decision in the world, but if it makes you happy and it gets you by, then do it. And this is professionally, this is personally. Just trust me when I tell you, it'll make the days better. It'll make the nights shorter. And you'll be a better person for it. So, like I said, I'm in a remote location, and the weather's been really great. I'm actually going to a ball game tonight. I'm pretty excited. I'm going to meet the Squints from the movie Sandlot. He's going to be at the game tonight. It's my wife's favorite movie. One of her favorite movies. Killing Me Smalls. But, yeah, well, I'm very happy. I love going to baseball games. You guys all know that. You've seen me in pictures and videos. I love going to minor league games. And for a few reasons. One, because it's family friendly. Like, you're not going to get the obnoxious drunk people there. I mean, you get people who are drunk, but it's a different vibe. It's more family orientated. And it's cheaper, a lot cheaper. Like, for a family of three, I can get tickets for the price of one really good ticket at a regular major league ballpark. Basically, the food prices are the same. You don't get as much of a selection, but you're not really going there for the food. You're going there for the experience. They're always giving stuff away. They're always doing stuff in between innings for the kids. There's always a contest. They always have stuff going on. There's a promotion almost every single day. On the weekends, there's fireworks because we're in Coney Island. And if you guys know New York, Coney Island in South Brooklyn, you're right off the beach. You're right off the Atlantic Ocean. So you get the boardwalk, the beach, and you get the ambiance of a firework. It's fantastic. So I might treat myself and go again on my birthday, you know, just because. If I had my way, I'd go to a baseball game every night, you know. It's just, it's therapeutic. It's just the sounds alone, the crack of the bat, the cheering, the organ playing, you know, music in between. There's dancing. There's so much going on at a ball game. You know, once in a while I'll keep score. Like tonight, I'll probably keep score. You know, I like keeping score. It's fun. You know, and it keeps me it keeps me sharp when I play Strat-O-Matic because you have to keep score the same way. And you get to watch the future of whatever team you're rooting for, which is pretty cool. Like there was a couple of guys on the Mets now that I saw play in Brooklyn 3 and 4 and 5 and 10 years ago. So it's cool when you watch the progression of a ball player. You know, it's kind of like if you're rooting for like a singer. Like if you were a fan of Justin Timberlake when he was a Mouseketeer and he became this iconic, you know, performer. Same concept. Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. I guess it'd be the same concept, you know, where you're rooting for people and you follow them from the beginning of their career. Same thing with an actor or an actress. Like, I remember that when she was in that shitty movie. Now she's, you know, winning Academy Awards and stuff like that. So, same kind of concept. I love watching I like watching live sports, period. I like live sports and live music. I love going to concerts, too. But baseball, out of all the live sports, well, hockey's a great sport to watch live. If you can watch hockey live, man, if you get a chance, it's a fun deal. It's a really fun deal. Excuse me. I took a sip of my Monster. Still a little early in the morning. I'm trying to wake up. As you all know, Phil does not drink coffee. So I got some Monsters because I had to wake up at the crack of ass today to house sit. And needless to say, I'm tired. And it's going to be a long day, so I got one of two Monsters. I'm ready. One with sugar, one without. Split that all up. Pretty cool, huh? So there's animals here. I got a couple of cats and a dog, and they're looking at me like I'm on crack because I ain't talking to them, you know? So, man, fuck them. Either way. Okay, so let's see. Like I said, I've been watching some wrestling. We'll talk about some WCW tonight, but I did watch the SmackDown match between Nakamura and John Cena. Can I tell you that was a fantastic match? Can I tell you that was a pay-per-view caliber match? Can I also tell you that the fact that Nakamura hit Cena so hard, landed on his neck the wrong way, and then apologized after the match, he beat him clean. And this is the role I like seeing John Cena in. I like seeing him job. I don't hate John Cena. You guys all know that. But I like his role as the guy putting other guys over now at this stage of his career. I do. I think it's necessary for the more popular vets to be doing that more regularly. And if you can write them in as writers of the show and keep the guys still relevant, it's a win-win for everybody. You know, John Cena puts Nakamura over. Nakamura now gets title shot at SummerSlam in 3 weeks. And now you can either give John Cena another match or you can have him involved somehow. And on top of that, it puts more credibility into the performer that John Cena put over. Because, you know, I've been really down on Nakamura. I don't think he's been utilized properly, you know. I shouldn't say that. I don't like the way, I think he's limited into what he does. If you watch Nakamura in New Japan, you watch him now, he's more limited. And I think that's because of the talent, guys he's working with. And I really hope that he wins a title. And then, of course, we all think Baron Corbin's going to cash in because he's Mr. Money in the Bank. And he's going to win the title. I'd like to see him cash in and lose. It wouldn't be the first time. That'd be pretty cool, actually, if that happened. But, yeah, SummerSlam should be fun. AJ's already got the rematch with Kevin Owens. Shane McMahon's the referee. Women's title match is going on. We'll see what happens. I heard Bailey hurt her shoulder. She might be out. We'll see what happens there. I'm sure me and Choppy will get all the scoop when this is all you know, fact and just not just, you know, theory. So anyway, yeah, so SmackDown was good. I enjoyed that. I didn't get to see Raw, but I heard Brock and Heyman say that if they lose SummerSlam, they'll quit. That means we all know that Brock is probably leaving. He's done with his contract. Speaking of Brock Lesnar, I did watch the last UFC fight with John Bones Jones and Cormier. And it was a light heavyweight match. And Bones hasn't been fighting for a while. He was suspended. You know, he was hurt. This, that, and the third. Comes back. He wins the match in dramatic fashion. Makes Cormier cry, which I didn't never expected that. I've seen guys cry when they win. I never saw them when they lose, really, in UFC. Really, it's rare that happens. However, I will tell you that Bones calling out Lesnar, he's 40 pounds lighter. Moveset's way different. Now, I don't want to get into MMA, but I'm a casual fan. I'm no expert by no means. But him calling out Lesnar is pretty ballsy. And he's giving Brock 40 pounds. Like, here, just take that and, you know. And Brock is not... Listen, Brock is no slouch, man. You know? Brock was a world champion. And I'm not saying Bones is a bad fighter. He's one of the best in the world, but I don't know if he can hang like that, dude. I don't know. It's kind of weird, but I said it on Facebook yesterday. It's a match I definitely want to see. I definitely want to see that match. Yeah, mixed martial arts for me. I mean, the Cyborg match was great. That chick is an animal, but the chick that she fought with kind of held her at bay. It was the classic wrestler versus striker. And the wrestler tried her hardest to duck all the bombarding fucking hammers that Cyborg was throwing. But it finally caught up with her. It would have been cool if they would have took it to the floor a little bit. Although I love a stand-up fight. I like when the guys and the girls just punch the shit out of each other. I don't like it when they go to the ground and they grapple for like 3 minutes and roll around with no... You know, with no purpose, you know, and nobody's getting shots in, that kind of shit. But this match would have been a little better if it would have been a hybrid, if they would have took it to the ground, little ground and pound kind of thing. I wanted to see that. Didn't get to see that, but that's okay. I do enjoy, and mixed martial arts, and I said this to you a couple months ago, I probably said it on the show too last year, I probably said it a few times actually, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but MMA, when the UFC absorbed all the other feds, like Strikeforce and Invicta and all other shit, they took all these weight classes on. And there's way too many people per weight class. So, and you only have a pay-per-view a month. You don't have and they do have the fight nights and all of the shit. But they don't have enough television time or enough fighting time to get a lot of these guys in. You know, you can't have the same 5 or 10 welterweights fighting all the time when there's 20 or 25 of the guys that can probably fight. You know, and there's no underdog matches because UFC is monopolized. There's only one or two matchmakers there, and they put on what they think is going to sell, you know, monthly. And like with the Cyborg fight, they were fighting for an open title. The chick who won the title didn't want to fight the Cyborg chick. So she purposely relinquished her title because she didn't want to fight this chick, which was so weird to me. I would want to fight the baddest chick on the planet if I was another, you know what I'm saying? I mean, listen, the payout alone. I mean, I know, granted, you're not doing it for the money, but when you're good, or you're fighting somebody who's good, or possibly even better than you, you're going to get a good payday. Same thing with this Mayweather-McGregor nonsense, you know. Like, no matter what the outcome is going to be, those guys are getting paid. Like, McGregor is probably going to have... He's probably going to get more money in this fight than he would fighting the next 5 or 10 years in UFC. And he's a champion. And not because he's bad, because he's one of the, he's probably one of the best in the world. He probably is the best in the world. However, the payout isn't that great. It just depends on who you fight. Same thing with boxing, you know? Same thing with boxing. So, yeah, I've been catching up on UFC, catching up on wrestling. We'll talk a little WCW tonight. I really have nothing else on the docket. I was going to do a philatorial, but then I realized it was the 20th anniversary of the 100th episode of Nitro. So we'll talk about that, and then me and Choppy will probably do Hog Wild maybe next week or the week after, just to keep it interesting for you guys. So, before we go to break, though, I just want to, you know, I know 2 weeks ago we messed up on the audio and shit, and I apologize and all that, and I think I thanked everybody, and if I didn't, I just want to take this opportunity to say thank you, you know, whether you were a former co-host, former co-guest host, former guys who covered for me. Like, I know, was it last year, I had guys covering for me on my birthday, so that was cool. Just the support that I get, the support group we have here with Rant DM and the Shining Wizards Network and all the other shows that we're a part of and networks that we're a part of, it's just really cool. And normally I'd have Tank around this time, I don't, and that's kind of rough on me. He'll be dead a year already next month. And Tank was a vital part of behind the scenes because he was constantly feeding me with input, you know, stuff that I didn't see. He would forward it to me, or he would call me up, or he'd text me, or we'd get together every 3 months for, you know, the bigger pay-per-views with the crew. So not having Tank's input and his friendship around has taken a toll on me. And it's rough, man, when you lose a friend so early in life, especially a best friend. Like, he's like a brother. He was like a brother to me. And I don't know if I'll ever recover from that. You know, it'll get better with time, and I'm not his blood relative, but his family knows how I feel about him. So, and our crew knew how I felt about him, and our friends and our peers knew how I felt about him. I know there's still videos being posted on his Toy Box page, which is really cool. I know Scott put one up the other day. That was really cool. I'm not into that as much as they are, so that was cool that they unveiled stuff and they thought of Tank. I thought it was a cool gesture, so shout out to him for doing that. And, you know, it's just hard, man. It really is hard. And I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but, you know, it's that time of year where, you know, Tank would be here. We'd be getting ready for SummerSlam, and guys, we would go into NXT or hanging out, you know, the menu, who's bringing what, you know, what time's everybody coming, who's driving Tank, because Tank didn't drive. So, you know, we'd have to hear about how his dad, you know, fighting, because his dad didn't want him to go. And that's another story. We have this conversation every year, but he wound up coming out anyway. So, I just want to let Tank know I miss him. And it's really hard doing this sometimes without him. as great as Choppy is, as great as Scott is, was, as great as Dave was, Tank was like my my private guest host, co-host behind the scenes, keeping me, you know, up to date on everything that I wasn't watching, or that he knew I wanted to watch but couldn't, you know. Or if there was a good comic book that I wouldn't even think about buying or downloading, he'd send it to me. Bringing pops for Mikey, you know, just being an awesome dude. And he was genuinely probably the nicest person I've ever met in my life. So when you lose that, you lose a little bit of yourself too. And it makes you think about life more than what you did before. And that's why I mentioned the whole thing about, you know, you get into middle age, and because he was a year older than me, but you know, you question your mortality and all this other shit, and you're like, that could have been me. That could have been my other friends who were the same age, you know. I lost way too many people in my life close to me. Friends, relatives, parent, cousins, co-workers, like way too early in life. Hence why I question everything now. So, lesson learned. Tomorrow was not promised. I mentioned that already on several of the shows. So, that's pretty much it. I don't know if I have anything else. If we go to break, take a quick break and plug our friends. Yeah, I don't have anything else, man. I haven't caught up with New Japan. I'll catch up by the time me and Choppy get back on the air. And I think that's it. All right, so let's take a quick break, plug all our friends, and we'll come back with a kick-ass throwback for you tonight. Listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, we're live on the Rant, rantemradio.com, on your Roku, your Amazon Echo, your gaming console, your tablet, your smartphone. Just search Rant Entertainment Media. We're on Stitcher, we're on iTunes, we're on Audio Boom, we're on the Shining Wizards Network, and of course on TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com. And with that being said, let's take a quick break, plug our friends, and come back, give you a fresh throwback. Peace.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you a pro wrestling fan that also listens to heavy metal? Neckbreaker was designed just for you. Wrestling headlines, metal panels, drinking games, and interviews with guests including Chris Jericho, Nile, Frankie Kazarian, Symphony X, Eric Bischoff, and tons more. Have some drinks with us and listen to Neckbreaker Podcast, available for free on iTunes, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, or grab our full archive over at neckbreaker.net.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
That chicken I smell, I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political dumb fuckery.
I haven't played this bad since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Alright, we're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on the Rant. RantEMRadio.com is the place. Little birthday edition, philatorial style. Little throwback action for you. So, let's see. By the time you guys get this, I'll be knee-deep in some birthday cake and hopefully a little something extra from the wife, if you know what I'm saying. But, it's still baseball season. My team is out of a pennant race, of course. And it's not quite football season yet, but you're getting ready for your fantasy football draft. So this is pretty much a downtime for your boy because, you know, I get depressed. My Mets suck again this year. You know, they'll have one good season every 5 years now, or every 10 years. I'm figuring that out. And I'm glad the podcast keeps me going, to be perfectly honest with you. But never fret, I'm here for you guys, doing it up. Little throwback action for you. Before we get into the throwback, I was reading something on Twitter, and I saw Hulk Hogan's Twitter, and he posted a picture of himself from August 1st, 1981, and he mentioned that was his his AWA debut, and that Vince Sr. bought him the robe, the cape he was rocking. If you could believe that shit. Craziness, right? 81 was AWA debut. Hogan should have been so much more in the AWA. That was all Vern Gagne being a fucking douchebag. And we all know the story. If you want to go back and relive the Hulkamania episode, go back and listen to that. That was pretty cool. We mentioned his AWA run. But tonight is about August 4th, 1997. 20 years ago to the day. For this edition of Turnbuckle Throwbacks, we're going back to the Monday Nitro from the Palace of Auburn Hills in Auburn Hills, Michigan. Population of just over 21,000 at the time. Well, the significance is this. The significance is that it's the 100th episode of Monday Nitro. And it's the first three-hour Nitro. You can blame TNT for that because they handed down a mandate that their go-home Nitros, quote-unquote, I'm throwing up the quotes, you don't see them, before pay-per-views would be 3 hours before they became a regular thing in 1998. Anyway, the show's got a world title match between Hollywood Hulk Hogan and the Total Package, Lex Luger, less than a week before they were set to meet at the Road Wild pay-per-view, which me and Choppy will probably do. So, fireworks go off, of course. We'll go into it right away. And Michael Buffer welcomes us to Nitro in Detroit. The Nitro girls come out and dance. You got Schiavone and Zbyszko and Mike Tenay. And here comes Hogan with the spray-painted title belt and Bischoff. And Hogan's been the champion for pretty much almost a year. Of course, Hogan's like, you mess with the NWO, you mess with them for life. Hogan's a god, blah, 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 blah. Basically every NWO Hogan promo ever. As you heard in the beginning of the show, of this show, there's an appearance by Sting. I played that for you. 9 minutes in, your first match, Mortis, a.k.a. Chris Kanyon, rest in peace, versus Kurt Hennig, rest in peace. And then they start, there's a rumor going around the campfire that the Steiners doing something big this evening. Remember, Road Wild is on a Saturday that year, not a Sunday. There's a whole lot of discussion about the match. I do a rundown of the card. And Kurt wins with a perfect plex at 3:47. There's a video package for Sting. And then your second match was Hector and Chavo Guerrero versus Dean Malenko and Slap Nuts Jeff Jarrett with Queen Deborah. A lot of boos for Jarrett. But, of course, Jarrett's the U.S. champion. And he won it from Dean Malenko. I don't know. But I don't get this match at all. But Jarrett and Malenko do have a little bit of a chemistry. Dean Malenko hits the Texas Cloverleaf, and Hector taps out at 4:51. And Malenko is definitely not about to strut. I can tell you that. A lot of Raw is weak signs. Raw's bore, I saw that one. Mean Gene interviews Raven. Stevie Richards appears with papers in his hand. Richards went to CNN Center and got himself a contract for Raven. Raven gives it a once-over, spits in Stevie's face and pushes him to the ground. Raven goes for a right. Stevie blocks it. Raven says Stevie says he's not going to take Raven's abuse anymore. Okay. Whatever. They had a Nitro party plug. Remember that shit? Like, you could, you know, post your party. People had Nitro parties. We had Nitro parties. We were just too... We didn't want to post them because it was a lot of food, a lot of fat guys, ice cream, and a lot of swearing. So we never posted our Nitro parties. The Giant comes out with no music, takes on 3 J Brones, Joey Maggs, Lenny Lane, and Scott DeMar. Giant gets a flawless victory in just 90-something seconds. Post-match, Macho Man, brother, comes out with Elizabeth. Savage says he wants none of Macho Man says he wants none of the Giant, and Giant, of course, disagrees, and Macho Man takes off. There's a plug for WCW Saturday Night, Road Wild, and then a Lex Luger video package. Match 4 depresses me, man. Match 4 was Public Enemy versus High Voltage. High Voltage did suck, possibly on purpose, and you'll have to excuse me because I'm
drifting in and out of here when while I'm watching this, right? Rocco goes through a table, rib breaker and a slingshot leg drop. They can win it here, but the incompetency obviously leads to a roll-up by Johnny Grudge on Rage. Not our Rage, but High Voltage's Rage. Although it's probably the same person. Rage could probably go as Rage if he was black, but he's not. And all Rage is black, but he wishes he wasn't. I don't know. Weird. And P.E. wins at 5:13. Broken table fragment to Johnny Grunge Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge. And, of course, High Voltage stands tall. Nobody cares. Nitro Girls and Alex Wright, who speaks in German and apparently, according to Mean Gene, some guys think he's number one with the middle finger. It's awesome. Speaking of Das Wunderkind, he takes on Scotty Riggs for the WCW Cruiserweight title. Riggs still wearing the American Males gear, but not the music, thank God. American Males. The crowd does not like any of it. Alex Wright does hit the missile drop kick at 3:45 to retain the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. So now we go to hour number two. Mike Tenay is out. Bobby the Brain Heenan is in. And we kick it off with Mean Gene interviewing the challenger, Lex Luger, for the WCW title. It's a defining moment for the total package. Who cares? I don't like Lex Luger. We all know I don't like Lex Luger. I do give him props once in a while for some of the things that he's done in his career, but I was never a fan. And Luger says it's a defining moment for him. The NWO is looking to take advantage of an opportunity that landed on his lap. Big deal. Nobody cares. Here's an interesting match. So, 6 X-Pac, Sean Waltman, whatever you want to call him, he set to face Ric Flair at Road Wild, right? He gets Chris Benoit that Monday, though, which is pretty cool. This was a really good match. I enjoyed this a lot. It was a suicide dive forearm, Tree of Woe, very unique version of the Bronco Buster, Michinoku Driver. 6 does not go for the cover. Houston Hangover is off the mark. Benoit hard chops him and back body drops him. Snap Suplex gets a 2. Backdrop Suplex gets a 2. 6 misses a second Bronco Buster. And then Chris is going to wrap him up. But here comes Jeff Jarrett nailing Benoit. And then in comes Mongo and Dean Malenko. And then Dean's all over Jeff. It's anarchy. Benoit wins by DQ at 4 minutes. More than Nitro Girls. Nobody cares. Vincent, a.k.a. Virgil, a.k.a. Nobody Gives a Shit, versus Booker T with Stevie Ray. This is his first match on Nitro, on a Monday night show since 94, apparently, according to the interwebs. And he gets killed dead, thank God. Booker T beats him in like 50 seconds. And then Mean Gene goes to interview Diamond Dallas Page, who's facing Ric Flair later. Okay. That's cool. I mean, DDP was, for the time, he was Mr. WCW, along with Luger and a couple other choice people, because Sting was still not talking or not wanting to wrestle at all. Your next match was Wrath, who was the partner of Mortis, of course, taking on the Barbarian. Not a good fight. The Kick of Fear misses, but the Power Slam does not. Barbarian goes for the Benoit Special, but Wrath delivers the Death Penalty finisher at 2:48. Ming is in, but Wrath is restrained by James Vandenberg, saying, "Not now, not now, not now." So Mean Gene interviews the Steiner Brothers. Now, what the hype between with the Steiner Brothers and what their big surprise was, Ted DiBiase returning after 2 months of being away. DiBiase plans to lead the Steiners to the WCW Tag Team titles. Of course, he almost calls them the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Championship. Thank God. Because Mean Gene helps him out and corrects him. And then here come the Outsiders. Hall chastises the Steiners for lack of brains. And Nash reminds Ted that the NWO is for life. And he's not. And he's a dead man walking. Nitro Girls again. And then, of course, a 1-800-COLLECT road report with the late, great Lee Marshall. Remember those? Hello, I'm Lee Marshall, and I'm here in, I don't know, fucking ass crack Arkansas. And we got a Nitro party here for you guys. Anyway, That was my lead marshal. If you like it, if not, go fuck yourself. Psychosis with the man, the master of the selfie, the innovator of selfies, Sonny Ono versus Raider fan with B-Team or Conan. A lot of discussion about Ted DiBiase. They don't care about the match. Cradle DDT, Tequila Sunrise. Conan quickly defeats Psychosis. I didn't know Conan was a Raider fan, so. It's just, unless he's wearing the gear because it's a West Coast thing, whatever. Then Ray Ray comes out with the crutches. Ray and Conan roll wild, health pending, of course. Conan kicks out the crutch, and Ray beans Conan with the other one. Ray can walk. He can mysteriously walk regularly. It's great. Your next match, match 10 of the night for the three-hour Nitro. Damien and Silver King from Mexico versus Ernest the Cat Miller and Glacier. Phil went and got a snack for this one while we were watching it. But a couple of facts. Glacier's original armor cost $35,000. And with his original entrance, which was used all four times, remember Bill, about $500,000. How about that? Just a Phil Ray, a fun fact from the interwebs. Flying roundhouse kick from Ernest Miller to Damien wins it for them, for that team, at 3 minutes 25 seconds. Eric Bischoff comes out. Well, nobody cares. Nitro Girls in the booth with Tanae, Shivani, and Heenan. So I guess Zabisco's gone. Tanae's back in. And Kimberly makes her sign of the Diamond Cutter and leads out her husband for the match. Number 11, Diamond Dallas Page versus Ric Flair. Even though the two have been in WCW together since 93, this is their first singles match against each other. If you can believe that. Ric Flair shakes hands with Kurt Hennig. Nobody knows why. Well, because they're boys. Not that it doesn't matter, but it's just weird seeing it. DDP has an early advantage with a shoulder block and a pie face. Chops by Flair until DDP retakes control. Flair, of course, does the dirtiest player in the game. Pokes him in the eye, but DDP needs only one eye for a sit-out powerbomb to Flair for a near fall. Kurt Hennig is out as we go to a break. There's an NWO ad for life t-shirt. After the break, Ric Flair chop, strut, chop. DDP fights out of that. Flair goes down face first in the corner. Flair responds with an elbow to the corner. Top Flair special. We know, of course, he misses it. Hip toss is blocked, but a swinging net breaker is not. Flair goes for the 15 yards on DDP's knee with the heading distraction. Discus clothesline by Page. Another chop. Figure four is hooked in. Page reaches for the ropes, forcing the break, but Flair knows the break on the four. Flair's looking for a suplex to suplex Page out of the ring, but DDP suplexes Flair instead. Figure four by Page. Mark Curtis gets the poke in the eye. Flair reaches. Mark Curtis, the referee, I should say. Gets the poke in the eye. Flair reaches for the ropes, forcing the break. 10 punches in the corner. Cartwheel by Flair. Top rope clothesline by Page brings the Nature Boy down with a pancake slam, and Henning KOs Flair, and DDP wins by DQ at 11:05. Page is up, and Brits double clothesline and scatters the Horsemen. Okay. Match number 12. Los Villanos, I don't know which number it is, there's like five of them, versus Hector Garza and Liz Mark Jr. This is a cool-down spot alert. 3 minutes later, a corkscrew plunger by Hector Garza, rest in peace. Knocks down everyone. Many drop kicks by Lismark and a backbreaker, but Hector Garza still in the ring. Viano pulls a twin magic with the other Viano of five, one of five, and they win it 4:57. So I played the Sting thing in the beginning. Gene Oakland's with JJ. Dylan's got a contract for Sting. Sting comes down, emerges from the rafters. JJ says, I got a match for you on a contract against Kurt Hennig. Sting tears it up. He doesn't want a warm-up match. We all know he wants Hogan. So, Nitro Girls again on the ramp. Michael Buffer with the Let's Get Ready to Rumble with the main event of the evening, match number 13. 13 matches on this three-hour Nitro. Your main event, Hollywood Hulk Hogan defends the WCW Championship against Total Package Lex Luger. Now, Luger won the shot back at Spring Stampede, right? So just set this up. A lot of Hogan sucks chants. Hogan stomping a mud hole and going, you know, back and forth. Hogan is clearly winded, I point this out to you. And you can watch it on the network. It's there. Champion is in control with a clothesline to the corner. Hogan with a turnbuckle smash and a second. Third is blocked. Luka gives Hogan many turnbuckle smashes as he's stomping a mud hole in and back and forth. Hogan pops Luger in the eye as we go to a break. Break comes back. Suplex, near fall. Back suplex, near falls. Luger gets a foot on the rope. Couple of chops. Hogan chokes Luger in the corner, gets the big boot for the two. Hogan disputing Randy Anderson's count, rest in peace. Scoop slam and the atomic leg drop, and Hogan only still gets two. A second atomic drop misses. Luger counters that with a clothesline. And now your weekly NWO run-in. The killer forearm to the Macho Man. And as he tosses Macho Man out, Hogan's wobbly. And the torture rack of doom. Ugh. Hogan submits at 12-10. Luger's your new champion. The locker room empties to celebrate with the new champion. Basically, Luger would have gotten that WrestleMania 10 thing going if he would have had a better attitude and Vince had his way, but that didn't happen. So, of course, we all know Luger drops the belt like, you know, 5 days later, so it's a 5-day reign. You know what's funny is that I'm not a Lex Luger guy, but I got nostalgic because it was on my birthday. I remember not being home, of course, because I was, you know, I was in my 20s and getting laid. So I had recorded it, and I watched it, and I was super happy and super excited about it. And because a title change happened on my birthday on TV. As a wrestling fan, you should get nostalgic about that. You should be excited about that. You should be happy about that. But it is Lex Luger. And you all know my disdain for Lex Luger. I don't have to carry on about how much I don't like Lex Luger. I think because I found out about Lex Luger's attitude early in my wrestling watching life, you know, between the magazines and then the shoot videos and then the Bruiser Brody thing, it kind of turned me sour against anything I watched about Lex. Even though I gave him props for one of his title runs, I gave him props for one of his U.S. title runs. He had some good matches. He wasn't really a terrible wrestler. I don't like the torture rack. Torture rack is a terrible fucking move. I called in the rant the other night, and I was talking about it with the boys. I don't like the move. It just doesn't look right. And then someone brought up to me, I think it was Dr. Doom, brought up that it depends on who he has in the rack and how good it looks. And I said, okay, I guess that's a valid point. It just doesn't look menacing enough, if that makes any sense to you guys. You know what I'm saying? But nonetheless, Luger's the champion. I don't know why they did that. And they questioned, we talked about that on the rant too, like we questioned, like, why? Why is this done like this? I have no idea. However, I will tell you that it was cool to rewatch, and I'm going to watch Hog Wild again, so me and Choppy can probably cover it in a couple of weeks. And I tell you, it's fun. It's fun. It's just to go back sometimes. I mean, that's why I do the podcast, mainly because I like to go back and watch some of this shit. But, you know, that time, and again, 97's been the theme this year for Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We've done a ton of stuff from 1997. It was a good year to be a wrestling fan, you know, between the NWO and then the incarnation of the Attitude Era over in WWE. It was a very fun time to be a wrestling fan, and if you were old enough to appreciate it, then you're very, very lucky. If you weren't, then you're too young, and you need to go back and watch the stuff to keep yourself going. And there's quite a few of you who aren't that old that should go back and watch some of that stuff, because it was fun, man. It was a fun time. You were watching Nitro, or you were watching Raw on tape and Nitro. I always watched Raw on tape Nitro when I was home, because Nitro always had a replay. And the thing is with WCW is, when it went to 3 hours, it wasn't as bad as Raw is now. Even as bad as some of the matches were in WCW at that time, some of them were bad, some of the storylines sucked, but it was still entertaining. I'll take that 3-hour Nitro, those 12 matches, And I'll put that up against any Raw this year or any Raw from the last 2 years. And I guarantee you it'll trump it. There was so much more going on. WCW was produced better at that time. It was a fun time to be alive, man. Definitely a fun time to be alive. So, yeah, it's a little less than 2 hour edition of Turnbuckle Throwbacks this week because your boy is celebrating his birthday. And I'm celebrating my staycation. And I'm celebrating the fact that I don't have to go to work until next week. And I'm bored. I'm house sitting. And I'm fucking tired. And I want to go to sleep, but I can't because there's Mexicans working upstairs. God bless them. Thank you very much for that. And they're legal, by the way. I don't fucking... We hire professionals. We don't hire fucking people off the street. So before you start saying, oh, Phil's a racist. Nope. These guys are definitely on point. Okay? So with that being said, that's going to do it for your boy. I want to thank everybody for their input these last couple of weeks. I want to thank... I want to thank Choppy for doing his thing. Keep Choppy in your prayers. Him and his wife are about to have a baby, and it's a rough time. They're having a little bit of a rough go right now, so send them some love, and they'll be fine. It's just a couple of things in the way, a couple of obstacles, if you will. But we're good, man. We're good to go. Baby Logan should be here soon, which means a new addition to Turnbuckle Throwbacks to the family. We're very excited about that. We're very excited about our networks, rantemradio.com. Of course, on Sunday, you got the What Are You Reading comic book show with the Mighty Silver Surfer. Monday, you had the Sports Report, Mr. Will I Am Morgan. Tuesday, you get a new Shining Wizards and a new rant. Thursday is Rant and Wrestling. And then Friday, again, is, of course, myself and the Chops, the live on rantemradio.com. Go to rantemradio.com, download all the old back catalog nonsense. Go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com. And you can get all the back stuff from there and amazing stuff going on there. We got Dave Destruction. We have Inconclusive Breakdown. We have Nigel McGuinness, The Shining Wizards, and, of course, Turnbuckle Throwbacks. It's all there for you. Go get it. Support all of our friends who are not network affiliates. Go on turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our back catalog then. And, of course, that's pretty much it. So on behalf of everybody involved in Turnbuckle Throwbacks, including my tag team partner Choppy, and the family and friends, I am the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu, reminding you all to take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap, don't get arrested, don't say the N-word unless you're Tony C. And we'll be back again, same bat time, same bat channel next week. Good night, Gracie.